question that for us as we just sit here today and for a short time think about these words. The question I want you to ask yourself is, what makes you a Christian? What makes you or anybody else a Christian? And what I mean by that is, how are you different from someone else who has a different faith? I was reading a paper the other day, and the headline, I didn't actually read the article, but the headline said, are Mormon Christians? Okay, and you might think of other kinds of religions and beliefs, because as we've been going through the creed says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And kind of to this point, most people could confess that, except for maybe Hindus, or obviously atheists, or maybe people who hold to, you know, traditional beliefs about many gods being behind the different parts of the universe, you know, of the sun and the moon and the earth and all that kind of thing. And so far, probably most people could sort of handle it, what we've been talking about and what we've been confessing. But when you look at the rest of the creed, and particularly the part that we're going to go on and look at today, I'll just try this once more. There we go. Don't worry, Jim will fix it. When we go on and look at what the creed confesses today, very quickly you see that it takes us into territory that other religions don't go. So we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Now, many people in the world, probably I suspect that a lot of people in the world and from other religions will be able to say, yeah, I agree. Maybe I don't like this term of Father, but I certainly believe that there is a God who made everything, okay? And certainly in Judaism and certainly in Islam, people believe that, right? Now we're going to go, though, into territory where people are going to go, whoa, that's not me. Because now it goes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his son, or God's son, okay? Jesus Christ, God's son, our Lord. And I just wanted to look at those, that sort of short phrase where it talks about the fact that Jesus, when we confess the creed and when you stand and say, I'm a Christian, you say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. You say that I believe that Jesus is God's only son. And you say, I believe, most importantly, that Jesus is Lord. Right? And I want us just to look at that kind of briefly today. So the clicker thingy doesn't seem to be working, Jim. That's fine. Just go on to the next one. So when we start thinking about Jesus, what do we know about him? Well, when we are first introduced to Jesus, you go and say, like, let's the first book of the New Testament to Matthew chapter 1, and it says, this is how the birth, verse 18, of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, and before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. So there's something different about this child. Joseph is agonizing about what he's going to do, and he's thinking about, you know, a quiet divorce. But it says in verse 21, after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And so Joseph is told to call his son Jesus. Now, that Jesus is the way we pronounce it in English, okay? If you speak another language or you've been to another country, you will know that not everybody says J-E-S-U-S. Not everybody says Jesus, okay? Some people say Issa or something like that. The name actually that the angel told Joseph to give to this baby was Yeshua, which we would otherwise, when we read our Old Testament, is Joshua, okay? Which means God saves, the Lord saves. And so straight away, there's something about this child. He's a savior. But more than that, he has this other name, okay? He's Jesus, and this word apparently appears about 500, and I haven't counted them, I just read that in a book somewhere, 530 times in the New Testament, which is the word Christ, okay? Christos. And that means anointed. What does that mean? Well, weird story. I was in Christchurch and had this unusual chap in the car with me from Dunedin, and I was dropping him off on a dark street somewhere on a cold winter's night. And as he hopped out of the car, he said to me, because he knew I was a pastor, and he said, "You keep preaching Jesus as prophet, priest, and king." And I thought, now that's not everybody says goodbye like that, do they? Okay, usually you just say see you later or God bless you or, you know, see you around. But he said, keep preaching Jesus as prophet, priest, and king. Why did he say that? Well, he said that because when we say Jesus is the Christ, not Mr. Jesus Christ, that wasn't his mum and dad's name, that they weren't Mr. and Mrs. Christ. Okay, that was a title, okay? That's a title given to him, like prime minister or like teacher or principal. And of course I think of him, oh no, it won't go there. So he's given this title, and it means anointed. And what was Jesus anointed as? Well, we know when you read the Old Testament that priests were anointed, weren't they? Priests were anointed to mediate between God and the people of God. Kings were anointed. You remember when Samuel, he took David and he anointed him with the olive oil, and which was symbolic of him being anointed to a task. And prophets too were, in a sense, anointed or chosen by God. Often they were directly appointed by God, so there was no anointing, but God would speak to them and call them, okay? God spoke to Isaiah, and Isaiah said, I can't, you know, I'm unworthy, my mouth is unclean, and God took a burning coal, remember that, from the censer, and he cleansed his mouth in this vision that Isaiah had, and he said, you go and speak on my behalf. And so Jesus is anointed, and he carries those titles. He is our great high priest. He doesn't offer sacrifices like the priests in the temple did. What does he do? He offers himself as the once-for-all sacrifice. Jesus goes once for all and offers himself as a sacrifice to satisfy God's justice. Jesus is the prophet. The words that he speaks, he can say, you have heard it said, but I say to you, you know. Remember that? He says, you have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you look at a woman lusting after her, you have committed adultery. You have heard it said that you shall not murder. But I say to you, if you hate somebody in your heart, okay, you have committed murder. So Jesus spoke as a prophet. He spoke with that authority. And of course, we know from Scripture, he has a title, doesn't he? And it is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the final, he's the greatest prophet, he's the greatest king, he's the greatest priest. So when you say, I believe in Jesus Christ, there's a whole lot behind that. And we could go on and on and on and on. You know, there's books been written just on those words. Many books. But it means that you believe that Jesus is your Savior. It means that you believe and obey His words, and it means that you are guided and directed in your life by His rule. Okay, He is your Lord; He rules your life as a King. It also goes on, and we'll see if button doesn't work, Jim. I believe in Jesus, the Son of God. That's the other thing. I believe in Jesus Christ, His Son, or God's Son. Now, this is a tricky one, isn't it? And sometimes offends a lot of people. I want to read, just to sort of put us in the zone here, I want to read from John chapter 5. And I'm going to read from verse 17. John chapter 5, I want to read from verse 17, maybe go from verse 16, because this is how this Bible here is paragraphed it. So, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to do the, to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him, not only because he was breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one. He has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." And sometimes people come and they say, "I wish that Jesus had said, 'I am God.'" Have you ever had somebody say that to you? "I wish Jesus had said, just why didn't he just say, you know, 'I'm God.' Then I could just, when these Jehovah's Witnesses turn up on my door, I could just say, 'Look, it says, Jesus said, I am God.'" But he never says that, and it's frustrating. Well, haven't we just read that? Hasn't he just said that? Like, in far greater and more powerful and creative and interesting and exciting ways? And so when we confess the creed, when we say Jesus is God's only son, we're not saying, of course, that God had a baby or somehow Jesus was created and inferior, or that he was a man who became God. What we're saying is that when we say, "I believe in Jesus Christ, God's son," we're saying Jesus Christ is eternal God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, all right? Jesus is the eternal God. Jesus is the unique Son of God. There's no one else like him. There is no other. There is no competitor. There is no one similar or anything like that. The angel says to, when he's announcing the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 1, verse 32, it says, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." And even the well-known verse, hope you know this one, John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." Okay? Jesus is the unique Son of God. There is no one else like him. And also Jesus is equal with God. You know, Jesus, he clashed, and we're told here that he was persecuted by others. Why? And this is a really good question to ask people, you know, the people who knock on your door and say, "Oh, you know, I believe in God, but I don't believe that Jesus was God." Here's a question to ask them. Why was Jesus persecuted and crucified? Why did the people hate him so much? Why did they want to put him to death? Why did they want to put him to death? And we're told here that says, "For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him, not only because he was breaking the Sabbath, but even he was even calling God his own Father and making himself equal with God." That's why they wanted to kill him, because Jesus was repeatedly telling them that he is the Son of God. And, you know, it's always... I think I've told you about this guy once before, but I met a guy and I gave him a piece of paper and it says, "What do you think about Jesus? What think you of Jesus?" And this man said, "I'm an elder in the church around the road. I don't believe this. I believe in God, the Father, but I don't believe in this Jesus." Now the question is, therefore, what was that man? Okay. So he was an elder in the church. But what was he? What kind of faith did he have? What was his belief system? Could you call him a Christian? Okay. So it's really, really vital. And then the third one, the final one is, and it sort of flows out of this, isn't it? I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in that he is the Son of God. And then it adds in that phrase, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lord. I believe that Jesus is Lord. Just want to reference Matthew chapter 22. And this is our final point here today. Matthew 22, verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, "What do you think about the Christ?" That's a familiar question, isn't it? "Whose son is he?" "Son of David," they replied. He said to them, "How is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says," quote Psalm 110, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet." If David calls him Lord, how can he be his son? And no one could say a word in reply. From that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Okay. The Lord said to my Lord. Jesus knows that this is speaking about himself. And so he's like, well, who is this talking about? Who is this Christ? And they go, well, Son of David. And then he goes, yeah, what about Psalm 110? And it's kind of like a 1 plus 1 equals 2 formula. If Jesus is the Christ, he's the Messiah, he's the anointed one, and if he is the Son of God, and you put those two things together, what do you end up with? What does that equal? It equals somebody who must be Lord. Must be either received as Lord or rejected. Okay? No, there's no sort of middle path or middle way. And of course we know when you read the Bible, particularly when you read the Old Testament, God is referred to as the Lord, and so this term is used very deliberately and very clearly, that Jesus is now, he's referred to as the Lord, and the disciples began to refer to him as the Lord even during his ministry, and after his death and after his resurrection, he was the Lord Jesus Christ, making it clear that this is God himself who came to the world and is now ruling and reigning. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. He is the God of the Old Testament. He's equal with the Father. It means he's the creator and sustainer of the universe, and it means that he's sovereign over everything, and it means that he's sovereign and rules over your life and my life. You ever heard about Christians being thrown to the lions? Okay? You heard of that, Christian? Sometimes people joke about it. It's like, oh, you know, being thrown to the lions or something like that. And it's because it's something that actually happened. In the early days of the Christian church, as it existed under the Roman Empire, the Romans were great sportsmen. They loved spectator sports. And they loved nothing more than getting a bunch of people together in a huge stadium and then getting a bunch of wild animals like lions and tigers and bears and crocodiles, and then finding a bunch of people to throw and for the animals to attack them and eat them because they were hungry and predatory carnivores. And so that was their sport. And so Christians were used for that. Why? Because the early Christians, many of them refused to say some simple words. They refused to say Caesar, who was the king at that time, the ruler. They refused to say Caesar is Lord. Why did they not say that? Why wouldn't these Christians say that? We can say Jacinda Ardern is the Prime Minister. I'm happy to say that. But the question is, could I say Jacinda Ardern is Lord? Or lady, no Lord. Okay? Could I say that as a Christian? And these Christians said, we cannot say that. We cannot say Caesar is Lord because, why? Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And there is only one Lord of my life. And I can only claim one Lord, and I can only bow down to one Lord. There's a guy called Gerald Bray. He says, pagan Rome had been defeated by a higher power, and its people had to choose which one they would serve. Pagan Rome had been defeated by a higher power, and its people had to choose which one they would serve. And so when the Apostle Paul says, he says, you know, no one can say Jesus is Lord but by the Spirit. And so what he's saying is that confessing Jesus is Lord is, if you say Jesus is Lord, you're saying, I'm a Christian. I bow my knee before him. You're a devoted Christian, and the Holy Spirit helps you and enables you. And I've just got, just to help us, I've got, just go to the last one, Lucy. They've got some pictures there just to explain sort of some of the stuff I'm meaning here. No. Yeah. When you say Jesus is Lord, what does that mean? What does it look like? Just to help us to maybe put some hands and feet and teeth and rubber onto it. What it means is that, as it says in John chapter 1, verse 12, it means you're a child of God. When you say Jesus is Lord, it says all those who believed in him, he gave them the right to be called what? The sons or the daughters or the children of God. When a person says Jesus is Lord, they are a child of God. Whoever believes in Jesus has eternal life. John chapter 3, verse 36. To everyone who believed in him, he gave to them eternal life. You ever heard of a guy called Arthur Stace? Does anybody recognize the handwriting of that word eternity up there? It was emblazoned on the Sydney Harbour Bridge in the year 2000, fireworks celebrations, okay, when it clicked over from 1999 to 2000. And they used that because there was a guy called Arthur Stace. He was born in 1880. His father was an alcoholic. His mother was an alcoholic. By the time he was 13, he was an alcoholic. One of his first jobs he had was acting as a pimp for his sister's brothel. They were prostitutes. He was arrested when he was 15 for the first time and went to jail. And the war kind of helped him a bit. So 1916, he was sent to the war. But he came back and he heard somebody preaching about the Lord Jesus in 1930, and he was soundly converted. He became a Christian. He said, Jesus is Lord, and his life was totally transformed. And he was captivated by the idea that now he was someone who had eternity written in his heart. And he really couldn't read and write much. He was basically illiterate. But for 30 years, this man used to get a piece of chalk, and at 5 o'clock in the morning, he would go out, and he would write that word. That's his handwriting, eternity. Okay, he couldn't read and write very well, but he could write this word. He would write eternity on the footpaths and bridges and anywhere, train stations all around Sydney, all over the place. And he did that for 30 years. And people used to wonder, who is this person? You know, because nobody ever saw him until finally, I think, a pastor at a church saw him go out, and as he left the church, he stopped and wrote it on the footpath. And so when you become a Christian, you receive eternity. God gives to you eternal life. When a person says Jesus is Lord, Arthur Stace understood that. You receive the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, 38, we read about how the Christians, when they believed, when they confessed that Jesus was the Savior, when they confessed that Jesus is Lord, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You receive that ability to to love others. Christians are those who love one another. We have love for the other believers. And in Titus chapter 3, verse 8, we are people who devote ourselves to doing good works. That's what it means when you say Jesus is Lord. And that's how it changes your life. So, if you're a Christian today, you can say, I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. But most importantly, you can say, and I believe in Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior, who is the Son of God, and who is also Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we come in the name of Jesus. We confess our faith. We confess that Jesus is our Lord. We acknowledge this. We acknowledge that without Jesus, there is no substance to what we confess. There is really only emptiness, and there is just vagueness. It's just facts. It's just abstract. It's kind of theoretical. But Lord, we recognize today that when we come and we say, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord, we are confessing something very deep, something very personal, something that changes our lives and transforms us from being dead to being alive, to being lost, to being found, to being outside of your kingdom, to being part of your kingdom, to being strangers, to being family, and being part of the family of God. And how we thank you for that. Lord, if we're here today and this is something that is alien to us, it's news, we don't really quite understand what even has been talked about, what the big deal about saying Jesus is Lord is, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us and just show us your word, show us yourself, so that we might truly believe in you. Thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.